Welcome, friends, to the hashtag STRAsk podcast with Amy Hall and Greg Kokel. And we are ready to look at a few questions here. Greg, are you ready?
I can tell you're struggling a little, Amy. You haven't been behind this microphone for a while. It's like, oh, what's next? All right. I am so glad to see you back up on your feet, so to speak, just a little bit, because I know you've had a rough few weeks being under the weather. So you're not out of the woods yet, but maybe enough to do a few shows with me. So
Hopefully my brain will work well enough for me to have something interesting to say as we're going through these questions.
Well, it was nice having fun with the other guys on the show as they filled in. I think John did and Tim did. It's good having you back too, Amy.
Thanks so much, Tim. Yeah, Tim did a great job. So that was really nice. And maybe you'll be hearing him again soon. We'll see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go to a question from Doug Smith. And he actually has two related questions. So I'm going to ask them both, and you can kind of incorporate both of them into your answer. He says, in a dialogue with a naturalist, he wants scientific proof that matter had a beginning. He says it may have existed with no creator. Please help. And then the second question was, what is infinite regress and who believes in it? When is it true or not true? An atheist threw it at me as a denial of first cause.
Well, let's do the second one first. And that is, an infinite regress is when you are looking to some causal element. And it turns out the causal element that explains one effect requires a causal element to explain it. And that then requires a causal element to explain it. So if you want to ask what caused X and you say Y, then you could say, well, what caused Y? And if you say Z, then someone could say, what caused Z? Of course, now we're at the end of the alphabet, but you come up with something else, you get the point. Which is why I'm glad that Gen Z is called Gen Z, because there's no more letters to work with, you know? We're done with that nonsense. The problem here is that what one is trying to do in a circumstance like that is have an explanation for everything that is being caused. That's the whole point. I mean, kids could say why, and drive you nuts, you know, always kind of falling back to another stage. But really, this concern here is that we're trying to figure out how things began, how they started, how they got going, what initiated something, because we're asking ultimate kinds of questions, okay? And if you think of it like a string of dominoes, when you see dominoes falling, any domino is going to fall. Why? Because the prior domino fell. Well, why did that prior domino fall? Because the one before it. Well, you don't have an explanation of falling dominoes, though, unless you have an explanation about how the domino sequence began to fall initially. All right? And if you keep going back to another domino, you can see how you go back forever without ending. Okay? That's an infinite regress. All right? Now, some infinite regresses, I guess, are not consequential. But there are some called vicious regresses. And I think that word means that the regress is destructive to your process. You can't. This is not an acceptable solution. And when it comes to the origin of the universe, which is sometimes what's in question here, well, the universe didn't need a beginner because the dominoes have been falling forever. It turns out that that kind of thing is impossible because each is a successive event that adds to the other. And this implies that you could accomplish what's called, actually, there's two ways to go about this problem. I think that William Lane Craig's approach is more complicated than is necessary, and also has I don't think it's a bad one necessarily, but it's open to more criticism. I think the easiest way to answer it is that that you cannot have a successive series of events that add up to an infinite number. Now, if we've had an infinite regress of dominoes falling, let's just say, and that is representative of events in the universe, and on the view that there was no beginning to the universe and therefore needed no beginner, which is God, that's the argument, the cosmological argument, then you have these infinite series of events that terminate, think about that, in the present moment. Well, that means you have an infinite series of events that has an end to it now. And then you're adding another number to that. And what that suggests is that as these events add up, to infinity, okay? Or an infinite number of events, let's put it that way. But that can't be, and it's easy to show that. You can't count to infinity. Try it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 100, 200, 300, 1,000,000,000, 2, 1,000,000,000, 3. You keep going. It does not matter how long you count. You can count forever and ever and ever, and you will still have a finite number, okay? Because you have a terminus. And whether that number is kind of counting forward or counting backwards, you have the same problem. Okay. J. Warner Wallace gives an illustration about how, you know, you're going to start the race, but every time you start the race, you keep moving just before the race starts, the official's going to fire the gun to start the race. He moves, you have to move the blocks back another 10 feet. Ready, set, wait, move the blocks back again. Okay, ready, set, no, move the blocks back. And see, this is a picture of kind of the origin falling back forever into the past. And you could see in that picture another way of understanding it. You're never going to get the race started, all right? So the problem of an infinite regress that is vicious is that it makes the problem that you're facing unsolvable. And I don't mean it's unsolvable because you can't prove there is a creator, because now you have an infinite regress. It shows that you can't have an infinite regress. It's an impossible set of circumstances, excuse me, and therefore there must have been a beginner or some kind of beginning that itself wasn't begun, that it was the thing that started the dominoes to fall. Now, we know of only one kind of cause that can initiate a series of events, and that is an agent cause. We have event causation, the dominoes falling. That's how science works, by the way. We see everything falling in a particular way. We know the patterns. And if you set the dominoes up in the same way every time, you're going to get the same pattern of falling. That's called experimental repeatability, because physical events fall that way. But notice I put it, you have to set up the experiment. Somebody's got to put the dominoes in a row and get it going. And that's the idea why you need an agent, and that's how the argument for the existence of God works. So this is why there can't be an infinite regress as an adequate explanation to the origin of the universe. The answer is because the universe would never come into being at all. We would maybe here's a better way to put it, because what's that question is whether the universe comes into being or not. If you say the universe is eternal, that means there's an infinite series of events in the past terminating at the present moment. But this means, because of this fallback feature that Jay Warner describes, and you can't count to infinity, the illustration I used, you will never get to the present moment. But we're at the present moment. Therefore, there must have been a beginning. All right? So that's kind of the way of answer the atheist. Now, any atheist can say, I'm not buying it. Well, that's okay. The atheist is going to have to buy an alternative that's irrational and unreasonable. It doesn't make any sense at all. What this shows is, and I know this happens. This is why there's this question, I'm sure. because you give a good reason why God is the best explanation for the origin of the universe, and an atheist is not going to have it, no matter how good of an explanation it is. I'm sorry. I'm going to speculate on a possibility that's not a possibility. I'm going to assert it and then believe it, and that means I'm right about my view. Okay, talk about what's that word where you kind of always – you have a bias for your own view? Confirmation bias. Talk about confirmation bias. There you have it. This is one of the reasons why I think this kind of argument is such a good one. Plus, the scientific – evidence is clear that the universe, and when I say the universe, I don't mean just the physical stuff, popped into space. I mean, on their view, matter, space, and time all exploded into existence with a singularity that's now popularly called the Big Bang. By the way, that started out kind of as a joke, and it stuck, Big Bang. So we have science on our side and reason on our side because you have a scientific evidence the universe began and you have a rational reflection that tells us that no infinite regress of simple events can result in getting us to this point in time now. So there must have been an agent who himself or itself or herself or that self, to be fully politically correct right now, had no beginning, Aristotle's unmoved mover. And that is a perfectly reasonable option. And in fact, it's not just perfectly reasonable, it's the odds-on favorite. Because the only other thing, the only other alternative is that the universe popped into existence for no reason out of nothing. It had no cause. That is completely counterintuitive. And so to describe atheists who believe that thing using Daniel Dennett's term as brights, the smart guys, is a bit specious. It clearly is not the best choice. So that's the second issue that was asked about. The first one was about scientific proof. Can you read that again just for everyone else? Because I can remember it perfectly.
a naturalist wants scientific proof that matter had a beginning. He says it may have always existed with no creator.
Well, the problem here is this is how do I want to say it? This is borderline circular, okay? Because what the person is asking for is a piece of evidence within the context of a materialistic worldview to answer the question about the origin of the universe. The difficulty is we don't have an answer within the context of a materialistic worldview because for reasons I'll mention in just a moment. And this is why we can use the creation event to Big Bang, if you will, to infer a creator is so appropriate. And that is based on a metaphysical notion, not a scientific notion, of cause and effect. Incidentally, this metaphysical notion is required to be in place for science to work. Science presumes this metaphysical notion of cause and effect, and that is basically that events have causes adequate to explain them. So if there's a big bang down the hall, and I said, "Hey, what was that?" And my wife says, "Don't worry, I just dropped a pin on the carpet." Well, that's not an adequate explanation to that event, okay? That something caused that noise, and we want to know what is adequate to explain it. I mean, that's standard science. That's what science is all about. We make an observation, and we ask the question, what's going on there? What happened? What caused that to happen? And that's how we unravel the secrets of the natural world. and we can kind of chart out the behaviors in the natural realm and infer natural laws or patterns from that. That's how, but it's dependent on this metaphysical feature. Now, it turns out that we don't have any good scientific reason if what person means by scientific reason is within the naturalistic realm, how the origin of the universe could happen. And the reason is because the universe, in that sense, just is the naturalistic realm. And so you can't ask what outside cause of the naturalistic realm was the cause of it inside the naturalistic realm, which is what this question implies. Give me a scientific reason. Well, see, now you're inside the naturalistic realm of cause and effect, because science deals with the natural world, and it depends on metaphysical principles that it assumes to be true, which, because they seem to be self-evidently true, in order to do their craft. And so this is an inappropriate question. It's inappropriate because, in a certain sense, it's nonsensical, and it's borderline circular for another reason, or maybe this other problem isn't circularity, but as the first one is, what is the scientific cause of the universe outside of the universe where there were no scientific causes? Because we know everything has a scientific cause. That's the circularity. Okay. The second problem is what's called scientism, and scientism is the idea that science is what tells you what's true about the world. And if science doesn't say it's true, then it's not true. You can't know it to be true, okay? and so that's the test that's being applied here by the naturalist is the scientific test. Well, wait a minute, how do you know? You've got to show me a scientific test, because that's the way knowledge works. And if you can't show me a scientific test, then you can't say it's true. I don't care about your philosophy, your religion, your authority claims, all that other stuff. Doesn't work. Science is the thing that tells us what's true. Now, the problem with this view called scientism is it's self-refuting, because the idea that science gives the only reliable truth about the world is itself a claim that this person thinks is true. Well, if the claim is true, what's the scientific evidence for it? There is no scientific evidence for that claim, and therefore it doesn't meet its own demand, and it commits suicide, to use the language from Tactics. So I'm not surprised at the question. I'm glad to be able to answer it, but what it just demonstrates is the belligerence of certain atheists to, in a certain sense, not be willing to play by the rules. And I don't mean by Christian rules or Bible rules. I'm just talking about the rules of basic thoughtful engagement, okay? Science works for a reason, because it is limited to a certain sphere of assessment, and we're able to examine that sphere because if we have metaphysical principles that are self-evident principles when you think about them, like cause and effect, and we count on them in order to make the system work. But once those principles point to causes outside of the natural world, which is something that the atheist rejects completely, then those principles aren't legitimate anymore. You know, so what's it going to be? That God caused, that some intelligent agent outside of the entire natural realm is the cause of the entire natural realm, the world as we know it, time, space, continuum, matter, that is the best explanation for the way things are. It just simply is. And there's no getting around that. It's the odds on favorite. And if you're going to be rational, best go with the odds on favorite.
And of course, there were scientific reasons why scientists discovered the Big Bang, and there were reasons why they looked at the stars and the redshift and all that, and
that's right,
and understood that we were expanding, and that went back to a certain point, a certain beginning. Right. So there are all sorts of scientific reasons in terms of that can be looked up and looked into more.
Yeah.
In terms of the infinite regress, one thing that I think people will sometimes throw out there is the idea of an infinite mathematical set. And they'll say, well, a mathematical set can be infinite, therefore there can be an infinite number of things. But in reality, that's different than an actual event, a succession of events, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about a theoretical set. You're talking about a series of events, first one, then the other, then the other, then the other. And yeah. That's when you come into the problem of reaching now from an infinite past.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. So
This brings in the other aspect of this argument that William Lane Craig focuses in on, and he makes the distinction, even though numbers are potentially infinite or theoretically infinite, doesn't mean you have a real number of infinite things. And part of his argument is, regardless of the successive addition, that's a separate side of this, just having an actual set of infinite things, he thinks, is impossible because it results in rational absurdities like Hilbert's Hotel, and he's got illustrations like that. I'm not fond of that because – and he may be right, but it just adds a lot more complication. And I think the point you made just before, that let's just limit it right now to actual infinites based on successive addition, because that is the nature of history, the successive addition of events. And if you can't count to infinity, which is pretty obvious, then you're not going to get an actual infinite. Even if it could exist in principle, you're not going to get it by adding one to another. And that's the situation we face here.
All right. Thanks so much, Greg. And thank you, Doug, for your questions. And hopefully that helped
you
out.
That was it.
That's it. Well, two questions in one question.
That's right. Well, it was a fun one, and it was an important one, and I'm glad we had a chance to go through it in some more detail.
And thanks, everyone. Thanks. Keep sending us your questions on Twitter with the hashtag STRAsk. This is Amy Hall and Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.